It's time for Girls in Golf Podcast with your favorite hosts, Lex and Sarah. Ladies, when you're ready.
Welcome to Girls in Golf, part of the Callaway Podcast Network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and the THP mobile app. Sarah and I are on location today at the Ely Callaway Performance Center. Just before we get to our guest, if you were watching Golf Channel last night, you saw a documentary about our golf ball plant. That video is now available on CallawayGolf.com, Apple TV, and Roku, so go check it out. The ball that changed a town, the story of the Chicopee golf ball plant. But moving on to where we are today, we're at the Performance Center because we have a very special guest. She's a major champion, a five-time LPGA winner. She's played in five Solheim Cups, over 15 years of professional golf. She loves matcha, and she's a huge food fanatic. You can follow her at What Do We Eat. She's part of Team Liability, if you know anything about the meetup. Last year, she married Johnny West. She's a dog mom to Lola and Gatsby, and soon to be a mom herself, Michelle Wee West. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you.
It's quite the intro.
I know. I always try to, like, find things about people and just, like, list them off, because I don't think people get to know or, like, reminisce enough on, like, what they actually have done.
I think my run of being on Team Liability has unfortunately come to an end.
Just for now.
Yeah.
You'll be back at some point. But obviously, this week, kind of sad part in the golf world. Hall of Famer Mickey Wright passed away. She won 13 majors and over 80 tournaments over her career, and she's one of the most influential women in the sport. You played in the Founders Tournament multiple times and got to meet her. What was she like, and what can you share about her?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is a golf swing. I don't think there's anyone that has a more beautiful golf swing than her. No. You know, growing up, that was the golf swing, you know. She just had such an athletic swing to her, and just how she carried herself. I think that's what, you know, our tour tries to instill in our younger players. Act Like a Founder is a hashtag that we use. It's something, a motto that we try to carry on. And, you know, people like Mickey Wright and the Founders and everything that they have sacrificed, we are here today because of what they did. And we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have had this lifestyle if it wasn't for the sacrifice and the hard work that Mickey Wright and all the Founders had put in. But that golf swing, if I could just swing half as good as her, I'd be happy.
It's really funny that you mentioned that, because I was looking at it on YouTube this morning and I thought maybe we could go through it and you could, like, tell us what is so good about her swing.
I just think her turn, she has a really athletic golf swing. And that leg coming down. You can see right when she comes down, and that left knee, is that something I really aspire to do? My left knee snaps back, and she really keeps that angle. And just through. I mean, just athletic finish. There's nothing about that that's unathletic, and it's just so smooth.
Yeah, and it looks tempo. So powerful.
Yeah.
It's very fluid, which I feel like that's so hard to achieve.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was interesting because Jeff actually is the one that suggested that we do that and, like, look at her swing a lot more, like, together. And I was working on that in my golf lesson, like, over the weekend. And so it's, like, it's really interesting to see just one of the greats, obviously, like, implementing something that has become just, like, something to aspire to in a swing. You've been able to get, like, close to some other women in golf, like Julie Inkster. What does it mean to have those role models?
Oh, it's great. I remember one of my first tournaments, I was 12 years old playing the Safeway, and I was playing the Pro-Am as an amateur. I got paired with Meg Mallon, and, you know, just so intimidated. But from the very first tee, she was the nicest person. And since then, she's been my, you know, my go-to person out on tour. She was my tour mom, you know, her and Beth Daniel. Just so much great advice over the years. And the first people that I go to when I have a problem or a dilemma, I remember telling her then, Meg Mallon, when I was playing with her in the Pro-Am, being like, you know, I just want to go to college, but I want to play pro. I want to turn pro. I was like, can I do that? Like, I was like, oh, but no one's really done that before. And she's like, you know, you do whatever you want. You want to go to college, you go to college. And that was really in the back of my mind when I made the decision to turn pro and to apply to college. And, you know, just having role models like that on tour and looking at that and seeing how they carry themselves, I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. So you've been playing golf for almost 2 decades now. How would you say the women's game has changed over the years?
I think it's changing for the better. I love seeing how international our tour has become, how many different countries, how many new countries have come up, and just seeing how golf has grown in those countries. Mm-hmm. For example, take Thailand. Mm-hmm. There were no Thai players on our tour. Golf wasn't big in Thailand when I first started playing, and you mm-hmm. have the Jatanagarns. Mm-hmm. Now you have so many other Thai players that are winning tournaments, and you see the amateurs in that country. There's so many new golfers, female and male. Mm-hmm. And those are one of the very, you know, many examples of how our tour has gotten golf to grow in these developing countries and where golf hasn't been, you know, prominent. So I love seeing stuff like that. You know, I think having the golf to the Olympics is definitely going to help. Mm-hmm. But I love our tour. It's young, it's getting really athletic, it's fun, there's a lot of personalities. Mm-hmm. So I hope we keep moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm. I think you make a really good point. What I've been noticing is girls are becoming younger and younger when they start golf. You know, parents want to start them young, and they just have these amazing swings. And the LPGA age requirement right now is 18. So given that, do you think that's something that should change? Should the age limit be lowered?
I don't know. I think it's a hard one, because for me, I think everyone has different priorities. Mm-hmm. I think everyone has a different path in life, and I think that if you want to join the tour young, mm-hmm. That you should. If you're good enough to qualify, I think you should play. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that I think your childhood you can never get back, and I was very lucky that my parents really instilled that in me, and I went to regular high school. It's, people don't know this, but I mean, I was only allowed to miss 2 weeks of school, and that's why I didn't join the tour, because I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't play a full schedule, nor did I really want to really jump into that. I turned pro really with like waddling in. I was like, I'm just gonna turn pro, play like 8 a year, mm-hmm. and then I'll like maybe join the tour full time. But everyone has a different path. So I think if you're good enough to play and you want to play, I think you should be able to.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like you had a somewhat of a normal life growing up because you didn't make that mm-hmm. commitment right away. What is something, if you look back at everything, what is something that you would have done differently?
I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I wouldn't have done anything differently. I think making mistakes and doing things and you learn from it. You have to learn from everything that you do. And if you have a perfect life, you'll still find mistakes in that no matter what. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of the career path I took, really proud of the life path that I took. It wasn't the easiest, but it was something that I wanted to do. It was hard because no one before me had done it. So my parents and I, we didn't know what we were doing half the time, but we just trusted our guts. And I wanted to go to college. I wanted to play professional, and couldn't see the reason why I couldn't do both. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to play in men's tournaments. I played in men's tournaments. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that was a mistake or not, I mean, people have opinions, but for me, everything that I have decided to do, I felt like I learned from it, and mm-hmm. I felt like I grew from it. So that's the most important thing for me.
You mentioned your parents, and I, as an only child, like really identify with just like how close you are, because mm-hmm. We often like say that we operate as a unit. Mm-hmm. What was that relationship like for you, you know, being like a young athlete and mm-hmm. still like having that normal life, and how has that changed now that like you're married and they're going to be grandparents?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents were really young when they had me. My mm-hmm. mom was 22, 23, so we always, I mean, I was the kid at the bar, you know. Yeah. My parents are still growing up, you know, raising me, and I still feel that, you know, we kind of are just growing, like throughout the whole process, I felt like we were going through it together, and that's what I loved about it. None of us knew what we were doing. It was like, just throw a dart and see what happened. But I felt like we're all just growing together, and it's especially now, me having a kid, I'm just so lucky that they are young, and we're all still going through this together. But everything's a learning process. You just don't know. And I really appreciate that my parents had the guts. A lot of people don't have the guts to do that. And my parents were very fearless. They were just like, you want to play in it? Go play in it.
Yeah.
Like, what's, I don't care what people are going to say.
What's
holding you back? And I just love that my parents instilled that in me.
Mm-hmm. So is that like one of, obviously, like multiple things that you and Johnny are going to take into your kids, I'm assuming?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my parents just were completely fearless, and they taught me to be fearless. And I hopefully we can do the same thing too, where there are no boundaries. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do, if you put your mind to it and put hard work into it, then you can do it.
Yeah.
So obviously your parents have been involved in your golf career your entire life. How did they first become involved in golf?
My mom growing up was huge into pageants, and she played competitively as an amateur golfer in Korea. My parents got married, moved to America. My dad didn't play golf. My mom taught him. And they joined this couples club. And my mom was down to a 4 handicap. My dad was down to a 2. They would travel all across Hawaii and play different tournaments, golf courses. And I just wanted to be with them. I just wanted to follow them. Most importantly, I just wanted to drive the cart once. But they would just stick me in the pro shop. Yeah. And I would just be like there all day.
You're like, gosh dang it.
Why am I folding clothes?
There's still that freaking rule about driving golf carts.
I know,
carts.
Right?
Like, you can drive a bumper car and run
into
other people.
And I was like, big enough, I could like reach the pedal.
Yeah.
To be able to.
Well, obviously, you know, you and Johnny both have, I was like thinking about Jerry forward. You both have like really well-driven parents. I think that's really cool because, like you said, like your kid is going to grow up in a house that, like, it's anything's going to be possible. I just think that's so special. But now, like, thinking back on, you went from like really competitive golf, which is something that you loved, moving into this stage of life. Like, what does your future look like right now?
I don't know. I would love to come back to golf. It was really fun testing clubs today. Yeah. This past weekend was the first time I actually played golf since stopped playing, I guess, last year, which is last year, June, July, which is a long time. And this weekend was the first time I actually played. Got to test all the new clubs today. Changed all my clubs to Mavericks, irons, drivers, everything. And it was fun. It gave me hope for the future, and the fact that I can play healthy again, it gave me like a glimpse of that, so I'm really excited. And I don't know, I feel like right now I'm staying busy. I really like being on TV and doing that, so that's something that I discovered of myself.
Can you expand a little bit more about like what involvement you're gonna have on TV? Because I think a lot of people are really excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I was really surprised with the feedback from the Solheim coverage. I love the game. I love talking about it. So I really had a fun experience doing that for Golf Channel. The thing that I'm going to do next is for the Masters. But I have I think there's going to be some exciting news coming up for that. I mean, before, maybe, and after. Can't really say what it is yet, but, you know, just stay tuned, I guess.
I love those kinds of news. Well, we're just so happy that we had time with you today and to talk about, like, just some things that maybe some other people haven't been able to hear. But hopefully we'll get in touch with you again soon after you do make that announcement. But if you want to follow Michelle, well, you can follow multiple places. You want to tell everybody all of your handles?
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Instagram, Michelle Lee West. Twitter. Did I change that already? I don't know. I'm in the middle of changing my name.
So I followed you already, so I'm not.
It's kind of hard to change. It's really hard to change your handle, by the way.
Yeah.
It took me like several weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
My food Instagram, most importantly, is What Do We Eat? You can follow my dog, Gatsby the Sheepdog. I think that's about it. I don't have a TikTok. Don't know what that is.
Oh, we can talk about TikTok.
We tried figuring it out, and we still don't understand it.
Oh, I understand it a lot more now. Jeff's soon-to-be stepdaughter has taught me Oh, yeah, quite a bit. A yeah, she's 15. Age. So
you got to get one of those Gen Zers to show you.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How it works.
I can tell you all about TikTok.
My niece, 13-year-old, like 2 hours, like talking about TikTok, and I just everything just went over my head. I was like, okay. Well, that's cool.
Okay, that's great.
I still don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't have a YouTube channel that's, I feel like, Gen Z as well, mm-hmm. or Gen X. Gen Z.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I have pregnancy brain as well, too.
People just like, this is like a new hobby of people's to like sit and watch YouTube, mm-hmm. and I don't even know where I would start.
I don't, I end up in the weird places of YouTube. Yeah. Like, we're like five-headed snakes. Yeah. I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Very really deep weird rabbit holes. Hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll talk about next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on Girls in Golf. We'll see you next Wednesday.